You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast number 13. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ, as Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to return to Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. You can access all of our podcasts and the accompanying blogs on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our podcasts are also available on Spreaker and Stitcher. Genesis is a book of beginnings. It records the beginning of time. It records the beginning of life. It records the beginning of sin, and it records the beginning of salvation. Almost all of the foundational biblical doctrines are revealed in the book of Genesis and are further developed in other books in our Holy Bible. As a result, our foundational biblical teaching ministry lessons will begin in the book of Genesis. Podcast 13 is titled Adam, Eve, Satan, and the Original Sin. Genesis 2:7-9. Let's go there first. Genesis 2:7-9. And it says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So what are we saying? Adam was the first human created by God. Adam was created in the image of God. Adam was created with a body and became a living soul. Adam's job was to tend God's garden. Adam was in paradise. Even in paradise, though, Adam had to work. None of us were sent into the world to be idle. Adam had no sin. Adam had no sickness. Adam had no disease. Adam had no bills. Adam had no debt. Adam had no problems. Adam had free access to the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Adam was created to live eternally with God with no sin and no sickness. Although there were many trees in the Garden of Eden, only two specific trees were mentioned in this passage: the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:15-17 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Here what we're saying is God had made a covenant with Adam, but there was the contingency clause on Adam being allowed to live for eternity in paradise. As long as Adam obeyed God and did not eat of the forbidden fruit, he had eternal life in paradise in the presence of God. However, God did not make Adam as a robot. God created Adam and mankind as human beings with free will. We are all moral free agents with the permission and ability to make our own conscious decisions. Adam and all of mankind can either choose to obey or disobey God. There are eternally positive consequences if we are obedient to God, and there are eternally negative consequences if we choose to disobey God. Either way, we have a conscious decision to make. either my will be done or thy will be done. Either trust the counsel of God or lean to your own understanding. Let's continue in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 2, verses 18, and then let's drop down to verses 21 through 25. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." There are 4 points I would like for you to consider regarding this passage of Scripture. Point number one. God says that it is not good for man to be alone, and he created a woman for Adam. God could have created Eve from the dust of the ground like he had created Adam. Instead, God created the woman from one of Adam's ribs. Eve was not created from the dust of the ground. Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs to be a helper and a partner for Adam, and was on equal footing with Adam. As a married couple, they were designed to be bones of each other's bones and flesh of each other's flesh. They were directed to leave their parents and to cling to their spouse. They were designed to become one flesh. The second point from this passage, God brought Eve to Adam to become his wife. God was the minister that conducted the first marriage. God also performed the role of the father of the bride. We need God's help, and we need God's favor in our marriage to bless it and to keep it strong. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says that a triple braided cord is not easily broken. The third point from this passage of Scripture is God's design for marriage is quite simple. It is not complicated. God's plan is that marriage is between one man and one woman for life. God had directed mankind in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful and multiply. Only a male and a female together can be fruitful and multiply. There are no other acceptable living arrangements in God's design for marriage. The fourth point, Adam and Eve were both naked and they were not ashamed. Our first parents needed no clothes for covering against the cold or the heat, for neither could hurt them. There was no sin. This was the age of innocence in paradise. There was no knowledge of good and evil, at least not yet. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God say you should not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Hold on a minute, you all. Satan is not mentioned in either Genesis chapter 1 or in Genesis chapter 2. Satan is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, after the creation of the world and after the creation of Adam and Eve. When was Satan and the other angels created? How did Satan end up in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? I'm glad you asked. Go with me to Job. Job 38, 4 through 7. And this is what it says. And this is, by the way, when Job was having this discussion with God about why you have inflicted all of this pain and suffering on me. And God was answering Job. And this was God's answer. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy?" So what is Job saying? This scripture is evidence that when God created the foundations of the world, that the angels, which are the heavenly beings, were shouting for joy. And since angels were present and were shouting for joy while God was creating the world, they must have been present before the world was created. Therefore, Satan and all of the angels, according to Job 38:4-7, were created before Adam and Eve. Which begs the next question. How did Satan end up in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? Go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, 12-14 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, O son of dawn. How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the assembly on the heights of Zephron in the north. I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." It seems to me like this scripture is saying Satan was all about I, and I. It was mentioned 5 times. Go with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28:12-18. Ezekiel 28:12-18 says, "Human one, seeing a lament for the king of Tyre, say to him, the Lord God proclaims, you were full of wisdom and beauty, the image of perfection. You were in Eden, God's garden. You were covered with gold and every precious stone, carnelian, topaz, moonstone, beryl, onyx, jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and emerald. On the day that you were created, finely crafted pendants and engravings were prepared. You, a winged creature, was installed as a guardian. I placed you in God's holy mountain where you walked among the stones of fire. From the day that you were created until injustice was found in you, your ways were assured. But because of your trade, your oppressive business practices piled up and you became impure. So I expelled you from God's mountain. I removed you, winged creature, guardian, from among the stones of fire. You exalted yourself because of your beauty and corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I will cast you down to the earth in the sights of kings, and I will make a spectacle of you because of your corrupt trade, which surpassed your many other sins. You made your sanctuaries impure. Therefore, I will bring fire from your midst. When it has consumed you, I will turn you into dust on the earth in sight of all who see you." So what am I saying from the passage I just read about Isaiah and Ezekiel as I'm answering the question about how did Satan end up in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? This is what I'm saying. Although the passages quoted from Isaiah is referring specifically to the kings of Babylon, and although the passage quoted from the prophet Ezekiel is referring specifically to the kings of Tyre, they are also making references to the evil, demonic, spiritual power that was behind the kings of Babylon and Tyre, namely Satan. Satan was created as an exceedingly beautiful angel that was covered with gold and every precious stone. Satan was a high-ranking anointed angel. Satan was not content with his position in heaven. Satan was full of pride and had a massive ego. I. Satan's sin that had him expelled from heaven was that Satan was an angel created by God that wanted to be God. Satan wanted to be God. That was the sin that got him expelled from heaven. He was not a fallen angel. He was kicked out. He was expelled. He wanted to exalt himself above God. He wanted to raise his throne above the stars of God. Satan was evil. Satan was impure. Satan was corrupted. Satan didn't fall from heaven. He was kicked out. He was kicked out of heaven and bit the dust when he landed on earth in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Which begs another question. Were other angels expelled from heaven with Satan? Go with me to Luke. Luke 10. Luke 10, 17-20 says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even demons submit to us. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I give you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What am I saying? Here Jesus is testifying that Satan fell from heaven like a flash of lightning. Jesus is testifying that Satan was expelled from heaven with a very tremendous, powerful force. Now stay with this for a minute. Revelation 12. Go with me to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verses 3 to 4, and then 7 through 9, and then verse 12. Let me say that one more time. I'm going to Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4, 7 and 9, and verse 12. And here we go. Then another sign appeared in heaven. It was a great fiery red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and had 7 crowns on his heads. The tail swept down a third of heaven's stars and threw them to the earth. And then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought the dragon, which is Satan, by the way. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. So the great dragon was thrown down, the old snake, who is called the devil, and Satan, the deceiver of the world, was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and ye who dwell in them. But, oh, the whore from the earth and the sea, the devil has come down to you with great rage, for he knows that he only has a short time. What am I saying? According to this passage of Scripture, Satan and his band of evil and corrupt angels fought in heaven against the archangel Michael and his godly angels. Satan had attempted to overthrow God's throne in heaven because Satan wanted to be God. Satan and his evil demonic angels were defeated. Satan and his evil demonic angels were expelled from heaven and thrown down to earth. Let me give you another Scripture. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5:8 says that the accuser, Satan, the devil, is on the prowl like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What is that saying? Satan knows that his time is short on earth and he will eventually be thrown to burn for eternity in the lake of fire. Now that I've explained to you what I just read earlier in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, about Satan being in the Garden of Eden and having a conversation with Eve, and this is how he got there, because Satan was not mentioned at all in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and so I just explained to you how Satan got there. So now let's go back to Genesis 3, 2 through 7, and this is what it says. This is Eve. Now, Eve is talking to the serpent. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you should not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. 5 points I want to make from this passage of Scripture from Genesis 3, verses 2 through 7. 5 points. The first point, the tempter was the devil in the shape and the likeness of a serpent. Satan was either appearing as a serpent, possessing the serpent, or deceiving Adam and Eve into believing that it was a serpent who was talking to them. Serpents and snakes do not possess the ability to speak. That's my first point. My second point, Satan was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. Satan is the father of lies. There is no truth in Satan. Satan is slick. Satan catches Eve while she is alone and asks a seemingly innocent question. Eve knows of the covenant that God had with Adam. Eve knows of the commandment concerning eating the fruit from the forbidden tree. My third point, Satan questions God. Satan intentionally twisted and misquoted God's commandment to confuse Eve. He contradicted God's commandment and lied on God. He scoffed at God's word. He did it then, and he's still doing it now. It's the same game with a new name. Fourth, Satan enticed Eve to doubt God and then to disobey God. Satan convinces Eve to rationalize why she should sin against God. Satan told Eve that the forbidden fruit was delicious. Eve saw that the tree looked good. Eve wanted to obtain wisdom of good and evil. Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Eve gave some of the forbidden fruit to Adam. The temptation of Eve is the same sin that caused Satan to be expelled from heaven. He told Eve that if she ate of the forbidden fruit, her eyes will be open and she will be like God. That, my friend, is the original sin, to want to be like God. It is the same old sin being played out once again, this time on earth, the first time it was played out in heaven, and Satan lost both times. The fifth point I want to make is that after Adam and Eve had sinned against God and had eaten the forbidden fruit, and their eyes were now open, and now Adam and Eve had knowledge of good and evil, and now they were sinful. Sin separates you from God. Sin brings about suffering. Sin brings about consequences. Sin brings about shame. Sin brings about guilt. Sin brings about remorse. They knew they were naked. They had lost their innocence. They had lost their spiritual covering. They had attempted to cover up their naked sin. They sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. But I think you know that it would take a lot more than fig leaves to cover your sin when you have transgressed the commandments of the Almighty God. All right, here we go. Genesis 3:8-9. Genesis 3:8-9 says, we're talking about Adam and Eve now. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man Adam and said, "Where are you?" What are we saying? Sin is disobedience. Sin brings about shame. Sin brings about guilt. Sin brings about remorse. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Adam, where are you? God is not asking about Adam's location. God is asking about Adam's relation. A paradigm shift of seismic proportions has taken place, and God is asking Adam to fess up. God is asking Adam to come clean. Adam, where are you? What's up with that? Genesis 3:10. Here we go. And Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I have news for you. Sin will leave you naked. Sin will leave you exposed. Sin will leave you uncovered, and sin will leave you afraid. Sin will leave you vulnerable. Genesis 3:11-12 says, "And God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' And Adam said, 'The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate.'" What do you make of that? The woman who you gave to be with me. Adam shifts the blame of his sin to Eve and to God. Adam is in essence saying that since God gave him Eve and Eve encouraged him to sin, that Eve and God were at fault, not him. How wrong is that? Adam had a choice to either obey God or to obey his wife. Adam chose to obey Eve. Adam chose to disobey God. Adam chose to sin against God. Adam cannot blame Eve, and he certainly can't blame God. If we are truly repentant and seek forgiveness from our sin, we must first call out the sin. We must first acknowledge the sin. We have to own up to it before we can get past it. All right, stay with me. Genesis 3:13. Here we go. "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent tricked me, and I ate.'" So here we go again. The blame game continues. Like Adam, Eve doesn't come clean with God. Eve attempts to shift the blame to Satan. Genesis 3:14. Here we go. "And the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. What am I saying? There are volumes written about this scripture. I'll be brief. Satan, which is the devil, and the serpent, is sentenced, degraded, and cursed by God. Satan is a defeated, lowly, contemptible creature. Satan had already suffered a tremendous defeat in heaven and was expelled to earth with a third of his demonic forces. God still has some unfinished business to do with Satan. Satan knows that his time is short on earth before he is eventually thrown into the lake of fire to burn for eternity. Misery loves company, so Satan will try to get as many people as possible to join him to burn with him on judgment day for eternity. All right, here we go. Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put contempt between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. I think that bears repeating again. Genesis 3:15 says, this is God giving a sentence to Satan about the consequences for his sin that he had and how he had deceived Adam and Eve. The consequence is here. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put contempt between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head. That means he's going to kill him. And you will strike his heel, which means all you can do is maybe bruise him. But you're going to die. Ladies and gentlemen, this scripture is the revealing to us of the genesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This scripture is saying that the unfinished business in heaven is continuing here on earth. There will be a war between Satan and the seed of the woman. He, a human, that is the seed of the woman, will strike the head and kill Satan. Satan can only strike the heel or temporarily inflict a non-fatal injury to the human that will ultimately defeat him. So I have to ask you, of whom is God prophetically referring to? Who is this human, this person that is fully human and fully God, that is able to defeat the most powerful demonic angel in the universe? Who is this person? Jesus Christ. That's the person. Go with me, 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8 says, the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God, which is Jesus, was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of Satan. That's why Jesus appeared. Romans 16:20 says it this way, the God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God is still in a sentencing mode here. Go with me to Genesis 3:16. He's still sentencing the perpetrators of the sin. First, he gave Satan his sentence, which we just mentioned. Now he's going to give Eve her sentence. Genesis 3:16 says, to the woman, he said, in pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. This was Eve's consequence for her sin. Now God is going to sentence Adam. Go with me to Genesis 3. Genesis 3:17 through 19. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth from you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So what are we saying here with Adam's sentence? Adam blamed his wife for his sin. Eve was at fault to persuade Adam to eat the forbidden fruit, but it was Adam's fault to listen to her. Adam was not cursed as Satan was cursed. The ground was cursed for Adam's sake. We are all sentenced to labor. No one is supposed to be idle. Adam's sin brought death into the world. If Adam had not sinned, he would not have died. All right, let's continue. Genesis 3:21 says, "And the Lord God made garments of skins for the man and for his wife, and he clothed them." So what is this scripture saying? Adam and Eve attempted to cover up their sins by sewing fig leaves together and making loincloths for themselves. Mankind may be able to cover up their sin from the world, but mankind cannot cover up their sin from God. God knows all. God sees all. Mankind can't cleanse himself from the stain of sin. Only God can cleanse us. Only God can forgive us of our sins. I think it is significant to note that God made garments of skin for the man and his wife to clothe them. Innocent animals had to die to cover up the sin of mankind. This is symbolic. It is symbolic because it was the shedding of blood, innocent blood, that covered the sin. And I think you know that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, that covers our sin today. In fact, Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins." One last scripture before we wrap it up for today. Genesis 3:22. 2 through 24 says, "Then the Lord God said, see, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. At the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword, turning to guard the way to the tree of life." What are we saying? Adam and Eve were evicted from the Garden of Eden. They were to be separated from God. Paradise had been lost to sin and because of succumbing to the tricks of the devil. The good news was that they were sent to a place to work. They weren't sentenced to hell. They had forfeited their right to access to the tree of eternal life. Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have a right to access to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates." Paradise lost through disobeying God will become paradise restored when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and are forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. And that's our lesson for today. Adam, Eve, Satan, and the original sin. So let's sum it up. God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to tend the garden. The Garden of Eden had many trees, including the tree of life that was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God commanded Adam that he could eat freely of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil he should not eat, for in the day that he eats of it, he will surely die. Adam was alone in the Garden of Eden. God created Eve from Adam's rib. Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs to be a helper and a partner for Adam. God brought Eve to Adam to become his wife. God was the minister that conducted the first marriage. God's design for marriage is between one man and one woman for life. Satan is first mentioned in Genesis 3, chapter 1, after the creation of the world and after the creation of Adam and Eve. Job 38, 4 through 7 states that when God created the foundation of the world, that the angels, which are heavenly beings, were shouting for joy. And since angels were present and were shouting for joy while God was creating the world, they must have been present before the world was created. Satan was created as an exceedingly beautiful angel and was a high-ranking anointed angel. Satan was full of pride and had a massive ego. Satan was expelled from heaven because he wanted to be God and take over God's throne. And that is the original sin, wanting to be God and take God's place. Satan and his evil demonic angels fought a war in heaven against God's holy angels. Satan and his evil demonic angels were expelled from heaven and were sent to earth. In Genesis chapter 3, Satan, the tempter, and the devil appeared to Eve and Adam in the shape and the likeness of a serpent. Satan was either appearing as a serpent, possessing the serpent or deceiving Adam and Eve into believing that it was a servant who was talking to them. Serpents and snakes do not possess the ability to speak. Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan to eat the forbidden fruit. Their eyes were open and they had knowledge of good and evil. Sin entered the world through Adam's transgression. Genesis 3:15 represents the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ and is the first promise of a Messiah. Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman that will strike the head of Satan and will kill him. 1 John 3:8 says, "The devil has been sinning from the beginning, and the Son of God, which is Jesus, was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of Satan." If after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. If you have accepted Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Click on the Salvation tab and download the ABCs of Salvation document along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you're seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, you can send me an email. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben@foundationalbtm.org. Please share our podcast on your social network platforms.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
The Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry provides weekly Bible-based lessons on essential Christian doctrine. Our lessons are prepared for believers and non-believers to help our readers and listeners know what they believe and why they believe it. I pray that this ministry is making a difference in your life. We are a federally tax-exempt, nonprofit, listener-supported ministry. We are asking that you prayerfully make a donation that will help sustain us and expand our ministry services. We understand that some of our listeners are unable to financially support our efforts at this time. However, we pray that if this ministry is making a difference in your life, and if you are financially able, please consider making a contribution of any amount to support our ongoing work. We have several ways that you can give to our ministry. You can give on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab. You can also give by writing a check made payable to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, P.O. Box 2156, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 35403. Our podcast can be listened to and downloaded from our website. And with the support we've received thus far, we've been able to expand our podcast Bible Lessons ministry to include Spreaker and Stitcher podcast listeners. We're looking forward to your generous support so we can continue to sustain and expand our ministry to other podcast hosting sites and venues in the very near future. May God bless you and keep you. Are we all born with a sin nature? Are we all under the curse of Adam? If we are under the curse of Adam, is there a remedy? Is there a cure? Was Adam a type of Christ? And if so, what are the similarities between Adam and Christ? Why does our Holy Bible refer to Jesus Christ as the second Adam or the last Adam? I'm glad you asked. We will answer these questions in our next blog and in our next podcast titled Jesus Christ, the Last Adam. Please share our podcast on your social network. This is Dr. Ben signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.